This is true, but do not take it in a linear way. The development of self and the realization of the emptiness of self can actually happen in any order. Like all aspects of spiritual life, self and emptiness evolve together as a spiral in our practice, with new and deeper ways of understanding each succeeding one another. How can our practice help us to develop a healthy and full sense of self? How can we come to true self? There are several aspects of this process to understand. Our initial sense of self, or positive ego strength, as it is described in Western psychology, comes from our early development. Our birth temperament, or karmic tendencies, are shaped by early feedback and mirroring from our childhood environment to create a sense of who we hold ourselves to be. If we have good bonding with and respect from our parents, a healthy sense of self develops. Without it, a deficient and negative sense of self is established. Then this initial sense of self is reinforced by teachers, school, our social condition, and continuing family life. A habitual sense of self grows through this repeated conditioning, layered on our earliest childhood patterns, and recreated as we continue to grow in healthy and unhealthy ways. If our sense of self is unhealthy, our spiritual work of self is initially a work of reclaiming and healing. This means understanding and releasing a deficient or wounded sense of self, and reawakening the lost energy and authentic connection to ourselves. When we have reclaimed some measure of ourselves, the next task becomes the further development of character, of our wisdom, strength, skill, and compassion. This development is described in the teachings of the Buddha as the cultivation of skillful qualities, such as generosity, patience, mindfulness, and kindness. The development of self then leads to a more fundamental level, the discovery of true self. This is the discovery that the positive qualities of character that spiritual life works so hard to cultivate are already present as our true nature. From this sense of true nature, we can also discover and honor our individual or personal destiny, our self for this life, the unique patterns through which our awakening will express itself. Only when we combine the development and discovery of self with a realization of the emptiness of self do we complete our understanding of true self. There are times when it is important in the growth of spiritual life to develop a relationship with a teacher or spiritual guide. Whether you have been working with a teacher or are considering doing so, it is worth reflecting carefully on this key relationship. Because the spiritual process is not a random one, guides and teachers, drawing on ancient traditions, can understand and assist our journey when we ourselves are lost. However, even when we recognize the need for a teacher or teachers, we can be confused about what to look for. Some students have an overly inflated idea of a spiritual master, so they imagine finding a teacher who is an all-knowing, omniscient, and omnipotent God, and many spiritual communities promote this exaggerated concept. The opposite exaggerated view of a teacher will come from those students who are very cautious and have difficulty respecting or elevating another person in any way, who cannot accept that someone might actually know more than they do. They find it hard to let themselves be taught by anyone. Even without such problems, we might simply be awkward and afraid because we don't know what to do with a teacher or how we should respond. Over the long run, whatever difficulties we have in our other relationships will probably arise as well with our teacher. From issues of trust, trusting too easily or being unable to trust, to issues of boundaries, fear, doubt, and need. The best teachers know this and can teach us how to love and trust ourselves. They can teach us how to love the truth, to love life. they can be a model and bring to us a genuine and fearless relationship. A relationship with a skillful spiritual teacher, whether a brief encounter or a lifelong association, can often become an intensely intimate and valuable communion of spirit. The genuineness of a teacher and teachings becomes a sacred vessel that holds the truth that leads us to awaken our heart. When I'm asked how someone can find a teacher, the most honest thing I can say is that this is a mysterious process. Very often we simply run into them, hear about them, or are drawn to them in some unplanned or unexpected way. Many times we will have seen a picture, or read a book, or heard from a friend about a teacher who inspires us, presents a possibility of greatness, who touches our heart, or awakens some longing or vision in us. Such inspirations can pull us powerfully, mysteriously, and even reluctantly into the orbit of a teacher or spiritual community. We can visit various spiritual centers, try their teachings, go to lectures or ceremonies, and from all of this find ourselves drawn to a certain teacher. Nowadays, there are even guidebooks for the many Buddhist, Hindu, Christian, and Jewish practice centers in the West. These, too, can help give us a sense of what is available. The range of styles of spiritual teachers is great. In the Buddhist tradition, this is exemplified by the two poles of guru and spiritual friend. Spiritual friend comes from a Sanskrit term that denotes the friendly guidance and support we take from another in our spiritual path. Some teachers prefer this role, unencumbered by a need for devotion, surrender, or the traditional student-teacher hierarchy. The opposite style of teacher is the traditional guru. The guru is a great, wise master who embodies spiritual practice, guides us through specific teachings, and to whom we surrender for our freedom. With a guru, we tend to listen and obey more than talk over and question. Sometimes we are asked to worship a guru as a divinity in human form or as an all-enlightened master, fully awake, whose every act is skillful. In working with a guru, we undergo a process of surrender, a stripping away of our own self-centered ways, as a vehicle to develop an openness and selflessness infused with the guru's spirit. Between the poles of spiritual friend and guru is a wide range of styles. Teachers will teach through a combination of their own personalities and the methods that brought their own awakening. In one famous dialogue, the Buddha shows a visitor the clusters of teachers and students in his forest monastery. Students who have an interest in inquiry are gathered there with my wisest disciple, Sariputra. And those who are inspired by the practice of monastic discipline are there with Upali, foremost master of the monk's life. Those drawn by psychic development are there with the great psychic, Moggallana. And still others who are naturally drawn to concentration and samadhi are over there with Mahakasapa. A teacher should be an exemplar and a master of the tradition of practice they present. It is also helpful if they know enough of a range of teachings to fit the variety of students who come to them. If we already have a teacher, it can be interesting to reflect back to what drew us to them and to their particular way of practice. What expectations did we bring, and how has it turned out? What have we learned, and what are our disappointments? Is it still serving us to remain? If we are seeking a new teacher, we should inquire directly about how they teach. How do they view the path of practice? And what is the goal? What form does their practice take? How do they guide students? Will we be able to spend time with this teacher? Will we actually get their direct assistance? What kind of support does the teacher give to students through the arduous parts of the spiritual journey? What is the sense of the community around the teacher? Then we need to look at what is asked of us. Does what is asked feel healthy and appropriate? What commitments are necessary? What kind of relationship is expected? How much time is required? What does it cost? In seeking a teacher, we must listen to our heart, and we must look at ourselves with honesty. What are we really seeking?